Some fight for love. Some fight for honor. Some fight for 99p.
It's the 99p challenge! Good evening, I'm Sue Perkins, and welcome to the 99p Challenge. Big news, the BBC has granted us £1,000 to give away tonight, which I invested in my brother's surefire internet business. So now we've got 99p to give away tonight. Hey, there are four contestants who will play games and compete for copper coins, and whoever has the most at the end gets to go for the big 99 pence jackpot. So let's meet those contestants who are actually in it for the money. From the Friday Night Armistice, it's Armando Iannucci.
Hello.
From Blue Jam, it's Pete Bainham.
Hello.
On the run from the law for a crime he didn't commit, it's Jack Doherty.
Hello.
And the man who did commit that crime, but Jack thinks he's the only man he can trust, it's Simon Pegg.
Hello.
Before we begin, does anyone have a nagging doubt? Something that just worries away at the back of their mind? Simon.
Yes, I doubt the integrity of Britain's bus drivers because they always wave at each other and I think they're planning something.
I always have been worried about where they put the emergency exits in the Channel Tunnel.
I'm extremely worried and to the extent of losing sleep over it, so that's really quite worried. One day everyone in China will jump up and down in the spot at the same time. Just for a laugh.
I booked a clown for my grandmother's funeral. I'm not sure. He throws, buckets of, shredded black paper over people. Doors come off his hearse. It's a scream.
Okay, let's play the 99p challenge. Diaries. Just underneath each date, they do tell you useful information, often about full moons and bank holidays, which is ideal if you're a werewolf who works at Nat West. In this round, I'd like you to suggest other events you might see written in the very small print of your diaries. Jack.
Well, I recently celebrated Oatcake Wednesday, which follows Pancake Tuesday, and it celebrates the invention of the oatcake, when a jock was laying a gravel path and just thought, nah, I'll eat it instead. And that's it. Other than that, I always celebrate Clash Wednesday, which is where we all get down at the altar of Joe Strummer.
There is Ash Wednesday, which celebrates the group Ash.
Yeah, that's right. There's also Rash Wednesday, which happens in Wales, just so people get out their rashes, shout it to each other. And at the same time, I was doing quite rash things as well.
My diary says Gash Wednesday, Amsterdam.
Gash.
Is there rhyming abstention day where we don't have to make lots of soundy likey things about
Ash? On a serious note, next Sunday, of course, is Natural Causes Sunday, when the Queen lays a wreath in remembrance of all the people who died during two world wars of perfectly natural causes. Yes. The cowards.
Don't forget, on the 12th of October, all taxis go back a mile.
Gay pride this year has been extended to embrace some of the other deadly sins. It'll be a week of gay sin, basically. Gay sloth, gay rage, gay coveting your neighbour's gay ox.
Your neighbour's ass.
Your neighbour's ass. Hell of a party, basically. Yeah.
Tomorrow is Catch a Goo Goo night at Westminster Abbey.
And also World Stonewash Day. In which everyone in the world has to wear stonewashed jeans, otherwise they're stoned to death.
That one's only caught on in the northeast, doesn't it?
Yeah, only the northeast at the moment. Apparently, they're upgrading Good Friday to be Tremendous Friday.
It wasn't very good for Jesus that day, was it? There's another one. Is it this August everything but the banks holiday, when everybody in the country gets a holiday except people who work in banks? And then we just go around and laugh our heads off.
I'm going to say that's the end of that round, but for bonus pence, can you take a look now in your diaries, and what have you written in for next month? Anything exciting?
I've just got, I don't know what this means, going to see Starlight Express with the widow of Arkan.
Ah.
You know, Arkad was the Serb warlord responsible for many atrocities, who was assassinated last year, and his wife's a bit of a loose end at the moment.
Yeah. So, okay, at the end of that round, I am spraying pence around like he's going out of fashion. So I'm giving Simon 3p, I'm giving Jack 4p, I'm also giving Armando 4p, I'm giving Peter Bainham 5p. Sports are fighting for their existence at the moment. So when you ask city people, they say, it's very cruel. But when you ask country people, they say, get off my field, I have a gun. I'd like my panellists to suggest humane alternatives to blood sports, starting with you, Jack.
I think a drag hunt would be good, which is where you would pull hinge and brackets behind a behind a horse at high speed, and packs of dogs and have to follow the scent of their lovely perfume.
Big gamekeeping. Yeah. Which is basically you have a room on the side of your house where animals are brought in, and they stick their head through onto well, on the other side there's a plaque, and they just stay there for about a week, and you pay someone to stroke them gently as well, so they don't kind of, and then they just go, and you just rotate them, you know, so when people come, you've got animal heads on, on the wall,
which are clearly alive.
Yeah. What are they standing on the other side of...
Oh, a very soft velvet plinth.
Oh, so yeah. It's just...
Nothing to graze the hooves.
Nothing. Because had it been stepladders, I think that would have been
that
cruel.
That would have been cruel.
Yeah. But that was an early problem they ironed out.
You've thought this through, good time.
Yeah.
I was thinking you could, with fox hunting, make it more humane by replacing the fox with Basil Brush. And the man who operated him, who's chased...
Mr. Derek.
Mr. Yeah. Derek, who's yes. chased around a forest by men on pantomime horses. And then at the end, he's torn apart by those little battery dogs that can do somersaults.
I thought instead of fox hunting, you could have fox hounding, where instead of killing the fox, you sort of trap him in his lair and then surround him with press, photographers, and I just bombard him with questions. Like, Mr. Fox, where did you bury the crow?
Badger dining.
Badger dining? Yeah,
which is a replacement for badger baiting. Basically, just take a badger out for dinner. Yeah, the race, who can finish the starter first, and the main, and then the dessert, and then it's best out of three, basically. And then after, when it finishes, you have a coffee, just talk about the game.
I think that all beagles should no longer be used in blood sport. They should be replaced by beetles, who are generally old men who work in churches and lack genuine pace, I think, for the hunt.
Yeah.
What about show jumping, where horses on powerful springs have to leap over West End shows? It's not actually humane at all.
But it would be good to watch.
It would be fantastic to watch. Imagine watching Starlight Express and Red Rum goes flying and has to be destroyed. It's a great day out for the family.
Yeah, really.
Clay fishing? Just put clay fish in a stream?
Clay condemned man executing. You'd keep a clay man on death row for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't know if...
There'd be all sorts of last-minute appeals, though.
Yeah, there was, by a China lawyer. I have thought this through.
I think we should keep cockfighting, but just not use animals.
Can I just add Fox Tetris?
Yes. But, surely the procedure of dropping foxes in a line would be painful to at least the bottom fox in the row.
Well, no, because the person that developed the velvet plinth has created...
A velvet harness?
A special velvet fox shelf.
That's good.
What? I don't think that expression's ever been used
before. I think it'll catch on. That's the end of that round. Remember, the fox never really suffers. If no one hunted it, it would just rip out its own guts for a laugh. Here comes the money. Jack has 4p, Simon has 5, Pete has 5, Amanda has 6p. In this round, I want the contestants to find love. They'll do it through voicemail dating. It's quite common these days. You simply leave an answer phone message in which you lie about how great you are. Prospective partners listen to it, and if they like what they hear, they can leave a lovely lie of their own. So, voicemail messages, please, and if you do hear one that sets your heart aflutter, don't be afraid to reply to the one you've heard.
Hello. I'm a bit mad. And, and if you think you can handle my nutty ways, then for goodness sake, don't leave a message. But if you do, leave a crazy noise. And then I'm going, oh no, you're a loony too. I am so alone.
I am a bishop, and I've just moved to Leeds, and I'm looking for a congregation of about 40 to 100, must sing, and have good knees, with a view to romance.
I just want to reply to the bishop. Ideally, I'm looking for somebody with NSOS, which is no sense of smell, who's prepared to never, ever ask what's behind the wall in the kitchen.
Hi, my name's Jack. I'm looking for a woman who will find my little idiosyncrasies really, really amusing and charming for about a year and a half, then slightly less so for 2 years, and then over a period of 10 years, find all my idiosyncrasies absolutely infuriating. applicant must be available in 20 years' time to stand in the living room staring out of the window moaning, why? 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 Why?
Hi, my name is Lars, and I'm from Sweden. I speak English very well, and my interests are Volvos and suicide.
Please leave a message if you're looking for sex, marriage, children, a soul-sharing lifelong commitment till death, eternity together in the afterlife, and maybe more!
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm looking for a girl who wants friendship, possibly romance. I'm 6 foot tall, I've got blonde hair, classical dancer's body. I enjoy music and long walks, and I think that's about me. Oh no, actually I do like to murder cattle in the name of Jesus.
Hello, I'm just basically looking for a woman to start a family, really. But I'd like to start with, like, distant cousins and aunts first. And then kind of work inwards from there.
Hi, I'm having an affair, but I'm not married. So I'm looking for a bad wife.
And at the end of that round, do remember that money won't buy you love, and certainly not the money that I give away. It won't even get you shallow, empty lust. And I'm giving 4 pence to Mando, I'm giving 6 pence to Peter, and 7 pence both to Simon and Jack. Now, as you may or may not know, the BBC is built on an abandoned mine shaft, but the floor is incredibly strong and well-supported. The floor is cracking apart. Someone must have weakened the pit props. Only our evil arch-enemies on Radio 4, Moneybox Live, could have thought of an evil plan, so evil and pointless. But who will save us? I want you to create identities for new superheroes, or reveal if you yourself are a superhero. Jack, who would you like to be saved by?
Vat man, I would like, who, when you're having difficulty filling out your VAT return, comes round in a trice, and his superhero catchphrase is, well, everything seems to be in order then. Scat man, who, if you're at a jazz concert and you can't scat, then he'll do it for you, catchphrase
is,
I am Manfred man.
Isn't it true that in the millennium your superhero presence is virtually nil?
I have the gift of invisibility and inaudibility.
Do you have a special skill that you occasionally crop up at unsuspecting moments in Top of the Pops too?
Can I say I'd like to be rescued by Man-Bat? Right.
Take us through Man-Bat.
Man-Bat, basically, he's a seemingly ordinary bat who lives by day in a cave, but by night he puts on an ill-fitting man costume. And he walks around upright trying to solve crimes, but clearly encumbered by the costume.
Yeah.
And when his friend, who's a man called Gordon Commissioner, he points a beam of light into the sky, and in the middle of it, there's one of those symbols they get on gent toilet doors.
Is Man-Bat's assistant Wonder the Boy Robin?
Yeah.
Who is a small robin
yeah.
who puts on an ill-fitting... Yeah.
Yeah. And they go around in the Man-Mobile, which was a Batmobile, but has been converted, specially adapted to turn it into a Ford Mondeo.
Is his arch-enemy literally a penguin?
Yeah.
Who doesn't...
It dresses as a chocolate penguin.
Just a chocolate penguin. Does he have, like, phone bat and pole bat as well, or just sort of lesser bats who've agreed to be a phone and a pole?
Yes, I am. They live, it's very, gets very confusing, they live in the cave bat, which is a bat that's been hollowed out into a cave. I mean, you can barely get a finger in it, let alone a car.
How about, as another superhero, just quite simply Man-Man, who was an ordinary man who was bitten by a radioactive man, and when he woke up the next morning, he finally suddenly had the powers of a man. He teamed up with Boy Boy and Woman Woman, and they had a psychic called Fish Dog, and they didn't like him. It was just a bit strange.
Who, you know. Is, who would their arch nemesis be, Boy Boy and Man Man?
Bat-Bat.
Bat-Bat. So that's what Man-Bat would have been had Man-Bat not put on the ill-fitting man suit.
Exactly.
Just a bat.
Exactly.
Have you heard of Clark's Kent, who's just a regional shoe factory?
Potato Force 2000. Not called that because they were formed in the year 2000, but because they have the powers of potatoes, which aren't that powerful. So they have to make up for it in numbers. So there are 2,000 of them. And their leader is King Edward.
I am Golf Club Man, able to see off supervillains by asking if they're a member.
It's very similar to Eton Man, who just checks what school you've been at before he saves your life.
I am the incredible Blick. I am an Afrikaner racist. And when I get angry, I turn black. And I say to my friends, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Personally, Ant-Man was always my favourite until he was killed by his arch-enemies, Ant-Man, the human magnifying glass and kettle boy. At the end of that round, let me give out some pence. We have Jack, we're going to give you twopence. I'm going to give Simon 3p, Peter and Armando 4p. And now for our verbal dancing contest. It's just like normal dancing, except you don't move, which makes it nothing at all like normal dancing. The contestants describe a dance to me, and I will award marks for artistic merit, smiling, and frocks. Simon and Jack, some traditional Irish dancing for you.
I'm standing stock still, apart from my legs, which are moving extremely quickly indeed.
I am doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
The audience seem to be buying it. Pass it on. I am now decided to go against traditional Irish dancing. My legs are still, but my arms are wobbling.
My ear is moving so quickly now, you can barely see it. Let's stamp on Michael Flatley's head. Pass it on.
Pass it on. Pass it on. That was me doing it.
At the mere suggestion of somebody putting their boot into Michael Flatley, I, of course, have to give you 6 out of 6. Well done. And all of us together, please enchant us with some verbal Morris dancing.
And I'm hitting my stick with your stick.
I'm hitting my stick with your stick.
I'm interweaving, we're interweaving, we're interweaving, we're interweaving.
We all wave our hankies.
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 I'm walking around and I'm hitting you with a pig's bladder. Sorry, it's still full.
I've hurt my thumb.
I'm thinking about real ale.
Ah, small boy, you may be pointing and laughing at me, but I have dignity. I have dignity and you don't. I am an under-manager at Rumbelow's. Laughing now, small boy!
The sweat on my big beard. I'm 50, I've never been with a woman.
In the next field, we've tied up Edward Woodward and we're going to burn him.
It's a very responsible job, under manager at Rumbelow, so you can wipe that stupid smirk off your face, small boy.
I had one shot at it and I was drunk. One shot at it in 1968.
And that's an unblemished 6 for all of you for that stunning performance. So I'm going to give you 3p. Well done. Thanks, everyone. And now it's time to play Quite Literally. We believe that metaphors clutter the English language, sowing confusion and ambiguity. So we're going to expose them for what they are. Each contestant is going to act out a common metaphor. The others have to buzz in and say what he's quite literally doing. So, Armando, you're first. Quite literally do something.
gone past Tring now. I'd better remember to get off after rugby, but if I get to Birmingham, that means I've gone too far. I wish I didn't have to go, but they made me. I mean, I asked them why, and they wouldn't.
Simon?
Have you been sent to Coventry, am
I? Yes, I have.
It's correct.
Quite literally
gone to Coventry. Pete, you're next. Off you go.
Okay, then. Well, I hope there's something nice in here. The label seems to have fallen off. I hope it's ravioli.
That's a can.
Oh, no, I've got it open. It's not ravioli. They've got no eyes.
Simon.
Is it a can of worms?
Do you know? Yes! Yes! Simon, go ahead. It's your turn to quite literally do something.
Right. Okay. We're nearly in. Okay. We're in. Great. Right. We're good. Right. Everyone, just look for them. Look for them really carefully. Okay. That's good. Great. Now there's only 36. I need all of them. I need all of the winks. Give me all of the winks. I'm not going to leave until I get all of the winks.
Are you having 40 winks?
I'm taking 40 winks.
Yes, I'll give you that. He's quite literally taking 40 winks. Oh. Well, Jack, it's now your turn to quite literally do something.
I'm just nipping out down to the shops, but I'm not going to go in the car. I'm just going to take an arm. I'm going to put on an arm I found in a skip. It's got little wheels attached to it, and I sit on the back, just for the elbow joint, yeah?
Are you quite literally having a nervous breakdown?
Yeah. No, I'm sitting on the back, and little wheels at the front, and I'm steering it.
Simon, any clues?
Are you going out on a limb, Jack?
Yes, it's correct. It's quite literally going out on a limb. That's excellent. Good. And for bonus pence, have any of you quite literally done anything this week?
Last night, I'm afraid to say, I quite literally pissed all over the opposition.
Which opposition in particular?
Her Majesty's opposition.
Her Majesty's.
Matthew Paris and I were drunk in the gallery. But the only reason I did that was because Anne Widdecombe quite literally came down on me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
Last week, I quite literally barked up the wrong tree.
How long before you knew it was the wrong tree?
2 hours.
Oh, no.
And then I realised the right one was on the other side of the park, which is... I felt like an idiot.
Yeah.
I quite literally shot into the top 10 last week. Took out most of Westlife. It was just...
I quite literally called a spade, and I won the Garden Centre Most Obvious Comment of the Month.
I'm taking some time off work next week because I'm quite literally going away with the fairies.
Really?
Yeah. We're going to Bruges.
top fairy destination.
We've booked self-catering with one bed and three toadstools.
I actually quite literally wanted to eat my own hat, but I quite literally didn't have the guts.
I quite literally sold my sister down the river.
How much did you get for her?
Well, if you go down the Thames, just past Henley, there is a white slave market. And I got 50 pence for her.
That's good. Yes.
And it's actually a white slave car boot sale.
I quite literally let slip the dogs of war the other week. But fortunately, they turned out to be shiatsus, so they're small. They're not that threatening. Let's let the dogs of skirmishing more.
This morning I literally fought fire with fire. And as a safety measure, it didn't work as well as when I had some troubled waters and I poured oil on them.
Yeah.
I quite literally held my own in an argument.
Did that placate the other person, do you think?
No, I was losing the argument, so I thought we'll do something else, really.
Yeah.
Fun. And I'm quite aroused by losing arguments.
Well, that's the end of that round. So now I'm going to quite literally throw some money around. Jack, I'm giving you 6 pence. Simon, I'm giving you 8 pence. And Peter and Amanda are getting 10 pence. Well done. Films usually have little bylines on the posters to tell you what they're all about. Alien had In Space, No One Can Hear You Scream. Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet had, this film is very long. I mean, it's really interminably long. Bring something to wee in. Unfortunately, TV and radio programmes don't have those bylines. So, lastly, can anyone think of a tagline for this show?
Well, I have seen this show described as, and I'm sorry I haven't a clue, for the lock, stock and two smoking barrels generation. And also as a just a minute for the Star Trek The Next Generation generation.
Of the 99p challenge, an hilarious new quiz show for the 90s.
I think it should be the 99p show, an hilarious sideways irreverent glance at hilarious sideways irreverent glances.
How about the 99p challenge? It's like Timothy Leary on acid.
That is it. Let us see what the final scores are. In last place, we've got Peter Bainham with 36 pence. In third place, it's Simon Pegg with 40 pence, which means an all-Scottish top two. The Iron Brew will be flowing in the locks tonight. The Nessies will be breaking out the shortbread from the wee tartan tins, and I will be travelling north of the border for fear of reprisals. So in second place is Armando Iannucci with a staggering 46 pence, which means that tonight's winner with 48 pence is Jack Doherty. Jack, do you not want to not go for the 99p?
I sure enough don't not want to not go for the 99p.
I think that's a yes, I'm sure it's a yes, so let's play 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 gets! 10 out of 10!
The rules of 10 and 10 are simple. I'm going to ask you the same question. That is the same question 10 times,
right.
Okay? You have to get that question right 10 times. Then you're in 99p. Are you ready?
Yeah, go.
Okay, let's play. Question one. What is the capital of Denmark?
Is it Copenhagen?
That's correct. Question two. What is the capital of Denmark?
It's Copenhagen, isn't it?
It's correct, yeah. Okay, question three. What is the capital of Denmark?
Oh God, I know this.
Come on.
Is it Copenhagen?
You're right, it is correct. Question four. What is the capital of Denmark?
Montrose! Oh, no!
I'm sorry, the pain is tangible. You lost, Jack. I know it must seem pretty easy to the listeners, but when you're here...
When the clock's ticking
and
the music and the lights...
The sweat's building.
Montrose sounds like Copenhagen.
I know, it's...
Does it now pass to us?
No, I'm afraid there's no passover. In fact, we're going to have a 99p challenge rollover. So next week's winner will be a £1.90-anaire. So we'll see you then. Good night. The 99p Challenge was presented by me, Sue Perkins, and featured Armando Iannucci, Simon Pegg, Peter Bainham, and Jack Doherty. It was written by Kevin Cecil and Andy Riley, and produced by Sarah Smith and David Tyler. This was a Positive production for the BBC.